fighting tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Knights of the Storm. Today is Saturday, the 13th of April, 2024. I'm, of course, your host, Jason Barker. Angus will not be here today. He's traveling for business. But anyway, today we have a very special guest, Dr. LaGuardia. I think this is maybe the third or fourth time you've been on with us in the two different shows we do. Yeah. But Dr. LaGuardia, he specializes, he's been practicing for decades, by the way. He's not one of these academia people. But he specializes in internal medicine, geriatrics, bariatrics. You're the author of three books that I know of, the Doomsday Book of Medicine, which I own. It's been very helpful to me personally. The Bible of Alternative Medicine and Infected, the Secrets from the Medical Underground. You also have a Substack, medicalunderground.substack.com. So thank you so much for coming on, doctor. And how are you doing?
Excellent. How are you, Jace?
I'm good. I've had a busy couple days. I had a friend come out and we just hit it hiking and getting out and doing good stuff, shooting guns, hiking, nice. Things like that. Yeah, he wanted to document. He kind of likes to travel around and see different parts of America. Yep. And document it. And Mid-Missouri is kind of its own little thing, you know. So he came out here and we spent a couple days. But it's great.
Especially in the springtime, it's outrageous being out there.
Oh, yeah. Right now is a great time because the foliage ain't come in fully yet, so it's kind of easy to get through the woods.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but and the ticks aren't out yet, so.
Oh, they're out here in Connecticut.
Are they?
Oh, wow. My God.
Anyway, so I just wanted to mention that we are going out live to Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, and if you're on Facebook and they kick us off because we hit a topic that they don't like, just come over to Rumble. And you could jump in the chat there. And we're also going out to freeworld.fm. I see Moark Wild Woman is already in the chat there. We got in Rumble, we've got Raul, which is, you know him as Tony, right?
Yep.
We got Harps.
Good morning, Tony.
We got Harps from Australia. We got Ashley from Union of the Unknowns. We got Little John in the chat. Who else do we got? I think that's it for now. But hey, folks, if you have a question for the doc, please put it in all caps so I can see it because I don't have Angus to help me look at the chat while I'm doing this morning. So please. But anyway, Doc, the reason I wanted to have you on is because I seen this story. I don't know if you heard of this. You know who Amy Schumer is?
No.
Okay. She's a really bad comedian / actor. I can't stand her. But there was something that she's one of those super liberal woke
does not like being part of reality. That's what
right. You know, look wise, you know, I'd say maybe if you had to do the 1 to 10 scale, I'd say, you know, she's a 5 or maybe a 6 or something in my opinion. But when she opens her mouth, she becomes a -5. Anyway, there was something that kind of went viral. She supposedly got sick and it was from VAIDS, which is, they call it vaccine induced autoimmune deficiency syndrome, which I found out is completely nonsense. She actually has
endometriosis.
There you go. See?
Yep.
But that got me looking into some stuff about, because I've been hearing a lot about autoimmune deficiency is on the rise. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, you know her?
Yep.
She did an article on it that I read from her Substack. And I got to look at it, and sure enough, it's actually been on the rise for a while, even before COVID. So I wanted to talk to you about that today, about what's going on with that. And there's another, this POTS disease that seems to be on the rise now as well. And there's the general unhealthiness of our nation as well as other Western nations, and just kind of dig into that and dispel the myth from the fact. I don't know. I guess we'll start with what is AIDS, autoimmune deficiency? Because growing up in the 80s, I thought that was from HIV. That's what Fauci told us, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the whole thing now. They're calling, change the name all the time, you know. Look over here, don't look over here. Watch this, you know. And there's always, the cloud of war almost with fighting these people and all these problems that are developing. But probably autoimmune disease has been spiking progressively for the last 30 years. unfortunately. And everyone's shocked. You know, why is this? Why is this? And they're ignoring the reality of it. A lot of it is from the foods we eat and the lack thereof of nutrients, especially minerals and trace elements that are lacking in foods because the soils are so depleted. And so what happens as a consequence, for example, apples, you have to eat, you know, like 10 apples to get the nutrition you got in just as recently as the 1990. So, I mean, everything's going down in quality because they're not repleting the soil with stuff unless they're doing organic farming. And even with that, you still have to lay down minerals and stuff. When I do, in my books, I always talk about a great product called Azomite, which is, it's spelled A-Z-O-M-I-T-E. What that is it stands for minerals from A to Z and trace elements. And it's fabulous. It's mined from an old, ancient seabed in the Midwest. They mine it, and it's a great powder. It has every mineral, probably, I think, 120 trace elements, everything in it. So I add that to my soils to replete that. I also add kelp and worm castings.
Oh, wow.
You know, I use that combination when I garden. Worm castings are phenomenal. It just add all these nutrients to the soil. And kelp is really good because it adds iodine as well. And all the essential amino acids are in there as well. And so I try to put that stuff in the soil because then the plants that you grow have everything they need. And they become very nutritious for you, become what we call nutrient dense. You look for nutrient density in foods. That's what you want. And unfortunately, the opposite is happening. All the foods that we eat are not nutrient dense. I always tell my patients, shop along the outer aisles of the right. grocery store, not the inside. The inside's old garbage. It's processed. It's heavily laden with chemicals, heavy metals, real things that are really bad for you. There was just actually a report this week about Lunchables, about how terrible they are for kids. They're full of lead and cadmium and all these heavy metals. And their defense was, well, you know, we're not above the limits. But yeah, but you're still giving these kids full of lead and cadmium. Yeah, it might not be above the acceptable limits, but.
Let me hop in real quick because we've been reporting lately on the food that they're putting out there. And everyone's talking about GMO. It needs to be labeled that it's GMO. They're talking about all this. I remember back in the 80s, it was a big deal that they would say no additives, no preservatives. Like people were, you know, they didn't like the additives and preservatives. They knew back then that it was not good for you. But now we've shifted our focus to GMO and no one really cares about these additives and preservatives, like you said, the processed stuff. And it's almost like people aren't paying attention because their attention was focused. It's focused now on GMO or is it fake meat? Is it actually like a veggie burger? I just wanted to throw that in there that used to be a thing that people were aware of. But now we just assume what we buy in the store is good.
Yeah, it's a bad assumption.
Yeah. You know?
But, you know, getting back to the autoimmune part, what happens is that, you know, you'll notice a lot. I see it in my practice a lot. In fact, it happened to my wife. There was a lot of problems with allergies that you develop as an adult that you never had as a kid. There's a sign right there that you have what's called leaky gut syndrome. Leaky gut means normally in the intestine, the colon or the small intestine, it's lined by a single layer of cells. And in a single layer of cells, it has what's called a brush border on it. It looks like a shag rug coming on. That increases the surface area. On top of that is a layer of microbacteria, probiotic bacteria, that are on there that pre-digest the food and then present it to the microvilli. But between each cell, we're called tight junctions. And that means the cells are really kind of locked in to each other, so nothing can pass between them. What happens is all these toxins that we eat in our foods and all these chemicals are damaging those tight junctions. In addition to which, the fact that we don't eat fermented foods and things like that, we don't eat a lot of good things that are full of good bacteria, probiotic bacteria that helps us, that's damaged as well. So you've got a double whammy. Triple whammy. You're not digesting the food good because you have the microbiome is damaged, and so you're not, you know, it's not there. And then the tight junctions are damaged. So you've got two things, and then you have toxins also damaging them. So it's a triple whammy. So what happens is those tight junctions, normally it would have to process right through the cell itself and be broken down, and your body can assimilate, and it's fine. But when these tight junctions are open, large pieces of protein are going in directly into your blood. what happens there is that your body recognizes these as foreign, but sometimes the proteins mimic that. For example, if it's similar to thyroid proteins, you'll wind up with Hashimoto's because your body will attack your thyroid and think that's the problem. If it's similar, if it's attacking your joints, you'll wind up with different types of arthritis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, things like that. And so you wind up with all these autoimmune diseases because your body, autoimmune means your body's attacking itself. It's not recognizing itself.
Before I forget, let me ask you this question, because you talked about the thyroid, and I know when I was in the military, we had strict, weight requirements and stuff like that, and some people were actually diagnosed with thyroid problems that caused them to have, more weight or whatever. I'm not sure. They would try to get out of being kicked out of the military because they say, I have a thyroid problem, therefore, that's why. So is that, I was going to talk to you about obesity. Obesity in Western, the first world countries is just off the charts right now. And you can see it when you go to Walmart, you go to the dollar store.
45%. 45% of people are obese. It's unbelievable. It's the highest in history.
Yeah, and really, if you look at what they consider to be obese, it's actually extremely obese compared to like the 40s and 50s. I mean, just look at the pictures of people coming back from World War II.
Right.
Everyone was in shape.
Right.
They were healthy. So is our diet... the processed foods and attacking the thyroid, is that's what's causing the obesity and the type 1 diabetes and things like that?
Once again, it's a combination of things. High fructose corn syrup was introduced instead of sugar because of cost savings for manufacturers in the late 70s, early 80s. And that graph of use of that goes straight up. And as that does, obesity is right on top of it. So is diabetes. They are hand in hand. You would think it's the same graph. And so that high fructose corn syrup, what you're doing is laden in all the foods, especially kids' foods, which is horrible. And what that does is spikes your insulin because you have to get, and that insulin is a fat storage hormone, basically. What insulin does is it sends excess calories into fat to store them for later, because as we developed in, probably a million years ago, as people were developing, they ate and they weren't sure. Their food sources weren't constant. They were periods of starvation, periods of lack of food during the winter and stuff. And consequently, our bodies are designed to save calories. Your body's, it's a starvation mentality for your body. Your body thinks, oh my God, when's my next meal? Let me save this. And so any excess calories you have are sent into fat and stored there because fat's very efficient. It's got twice the calories of protein and carbohydrates. So it's a good storage system for that. But consequently, in a modern diet where we're exposed to all kinds of sugars and fats and different things, by the way, fats don't make you fat. And consequently, the excess of calories is always there and that's stored as fat. And that's part of the problem. The other part I alluded to earlier was the fact that with the soils being depleted, there's problems with lack of iodine in the soils. The thyroid works on iodine. But we're also screwed because of the fact that they're using bromine as a preservative in a lot of foods. On the periodic table, remember this from high school? Mm-hmm. When you weren't paying attention, Jason? It's coming back to bite you.
I was passing notes to the girl I wanted to date.
Anyway, the periodic table, iodine and bromine are right next to each other. They're halogens. And the reason they're there is because they have similar properties. And so what happens, we're loading all these fire retardants and food preservatives are all full of bromine. And that bromine, we have the double whammy of lack of iodine and an excess of bromine. And so what's happening is bromine is replacing iodine. And so you have in thyroid hormone. And so thyroid hormone usually has 3 or 4 iodine molecules in it. That's why it's called T3 or T4. And that's fake, a lot of it, because now we don't measure it, but there's bromine attached to it, so we can't tell. And so there's an epidemic of hypothyroidism or low thyroid. And so in my practice, I, unlike most people just check thyroid stimulating hormone, I check the whole panel, T3, T4, and that's where you pick up a lot of it. So you have to give thyroid patients, and there's tons of them, iodine and selenium, because selenium is what's the enzyme that converts inactive iodine to active, inactive thyroid hormone to active thyroid hormone has selenium. You have to have that to do that. And so that's depleted in the soils as well. And so, I'm a functional medicine doctor, so I look at how things function. and I start from how is it made? How does it work? I start from that premise, and from there I rebuild back up. And so my thyroid patients all go on selenium and iodine in addition to thyroid hormone, and that provides all the nutrients that they need to produce healthy thyroid hormone moving forward. And that's the kind of thing you do, but that's the kind of thing that's ignored by mainstream medicine. They just don't do it. They give synthetic thyroid hormone, which is sucks. Synthroid, they call it, or Levoxyl. I use Armour Thyroid or Nature Thyroid. It's made from pork, and it has T3 and T4, so it's more active and it's better for you.
Hey, Angus Mustang, who is normally my co-host on this show, he says, I have to say, what's up, Doc?
You couldn't resist, could you, Angus?
I almost got a clip of that. But let me real quick give some shout-outs to people. And again, okay, I do have a question for you I'll get to in a second. Angus Mustang, of course, joined us. Molly Brown Dog, which is a Syrian girl. We know is a Syrian girl on another platform. Has joined us. Free Thinker, Occult Priestess. I know I'm missing somebody. Gardner Goldsmith joined. Gardner, he has a great show, Liberty Conspiracy. It's Monday through Friday.
That is a good show. I've been listening
to it. Yeah. That's great. He covers everything, a broad spectrum. And I think that's everybody. I already mentioned Tony. So question here for you, Doc. Freethinker43 asked, does the doctor have a recommended brand of soil? And Gard linked something I'm going to share here on the screen to buy for raised garden beds to use in addition to the azomite, which I think is what, and this is what, let me share this real quick. Gardner Goldsmith linked this.
That's azomite, right.
Yeah. And
it comes, I buy 45 pound bags of it. If you have your big garden, it's more cost effective to do that. You can buy that on Amazon.
And what's your ratio? You just sprinkle that in there, or
I just add a cup full around the base of a tree. Okay. If it's a smaller plant, just a handful of it into the soil and mix it. It won't hurt. Excess of it won't hurt at all. And like I said, I use the magic mix of, I have a horse farm, so I use horse compost.
There you go.
Worm castings, kelp, and azomite, and my plants go absolutely crazy. You know, provides everything for him. So, back to his question about the soil, I would just make it yourself. Just get, you can even buy local things in bags. Probably each town, even here in Connecticut, a lot of the town dumps and stuff that will compost things and have compost available so you can buy it there, give it to you there. Or, approach a local farm and try to get some from them. Get compost and just add to it. Those things, and you'll have great soil. It's much cheaper than buying a potting mix or something like that.
Let me ask you, this is a question for me, because I'm actually building a workshop out here, and I'm going to do indoor growing, which I think might be a mistake, because we'll talk about the preparedness stuff later, hopefully. But I'll be basically, I'm kind of putting a weak link in the chain when you talk about indoor growing, because if I have lights and I lose electricity, my growing goes away. So I got to rethink that a bit. But anyway, I'm going to start doing
Get a solar generator.
That might be next on my shopping list. So I'm rethinking it, or change the metal roof out with some clear panels or something. We've thought about that. But we had a tornado come through, and a bunch of trees got knocked down between me and my neighbor's house, and we're slowly cutting them up and burning them. And the ash, I know ash, we used to burn our woods off when I was a kid, and the ash in the soil would make it grow back real lush the next year.
Yeah, ash is good, yeah.
What I want to know is there such a thing as too much, though?
You can do too much ash. It's almost like lye. It becomes very, very alkaline. pH. The pH is really high. You have to be a little careful with it. But, once again, a handful of it mixed in with everything else. Biochar is great stuff, too. If you half burn wood and use that carbon, that's great. That's really good for soil. Because what you want to do is, soil's all about the microbial life in it. And the horrible part with modern farming, using pesticides and herbicides, and they're killing the soil. They're killing all that life in there that can't be replaced. And that life is what process breaks down nutrients and makes it available to the plant, and all the things you need. And that forms really good, rich, organic soil that will have high microbial life, but also hold water and provide nutrients to the plant. And so that's what you want. It's all about the soil.
So getting back to the topic with the auto, I don't want to call it AIDS because it's just AIDS. We think of the HIV 1980s, you know, all that stuff, right. The Fauci claims, but autoimmune disease, that's just basically that just means you're susceptible to other ailments, right?
Not really. No. What it means, well, it indirectly, what it means is that your body is attacking itself. And so what happens is your body is it's constantly at war with itself. It's like committing a suicide slowly. Your body is attacking itself all day, every day. And so and there's consequences for that. It's joint aches, fatigue, food allergies, especially allergies of all types. All of a sudden you realize you can't eat this, you can't eat that. You're getting rashes and stuff. Your thyroid is slow. You're gaining weight. You're sluggish. You're not thinking. You get a lot of brain fog and things like that. And so there's a lot of manifestations of autoimmune disease. What I never really got to earlier was the way to fix that is to seal the gut. Okay. And so what you have to do, that's the first thing you have to do. And so because you have to stop that influx of materials that are triggering it. And so what I do is because the gut, unlike other cells in the body, the gut doesn't live on glucose. The lining of the gut lives on L-glutamine for the small intestine and medium chain triglycerides for the large intestine. So being a functional medicine doctor, I looked at that and said, okay, then how am I going to seal the gut? I'm going to provide those two things. So I provide, you can buy powdered L-glutamine. It's very cheap and has no taste. And you add that, I have my patients take that two or three times a day, usually twice a day. And also take coconut oil, which is medium chain triglycerides. You could also buy medium chain triglycerides. They have it available online. But so right away you're helping the lining right there. Then you have to, in addition to which, you have to probably try to go as organic as you can with your diet to avoid those toxins or grow your own food. So that eliminates the toxin part. And then you also have to take some probiotics. I use this mix of my wife and it worked great. It took about 6 months because it takes a while. It's not immediate. But I give her collagen because collagen is the largest, most common protein in the body. Everything structurally in the body is made of collagen. So the lining of the gut, everything has to be made with that. So I give collagen. Collagen doesn't work without vitamin C. So I give collagen, vitamin C, L-glutamine, and coconut oil. And that combination, along with probiotics, works fabulous to heal the gut. And then what happens is 5 or 6 months down the road, the allergies start disappearing, the autoimmune antibodies start dropping, and you see the person healing. But it's not immediate. It takes a while, and you have to be vigilant about it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you talked about the soil and the gardening because we're talking right now about how to fix it. But if we go to the source, and I know they're getting more and more consolidated on our food network, which really bothers me because we don't know what's going into the food.
Right.
I've been doing a lot of research. And to be honest with you, when I started looking into this autoimmune deficiency, I quickly jump onto the vaccines because that I'm not a fan of those. But I started finding that this stuff's been going on since before they released that. So that's why I wanted to get you on to talk about what's causing this autoimmune problems. And incidentally, I want to talk about cancers as well, because I think the rise in cancers we're seeing, these turbo cancers, are a result of our immune system at war with itself and not being able to fight those cancers. So exactly. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So what happens is the spike protein from the vaccine, you're absolutely right, is horrendous. So what that does, it's picture it as little pieces of Velcro almost. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that gets lodged in the small blood vessels. And that initiates an autoimmune reaction, initiates clotting as well. Clotting is the main part. And there was a guy out of Canada during COVID, country doctor like myself, functional medicine guy, who started testing his patients. And I read his article online. I said, the guy might have something here. I started testing my patients. I tested them during COVID after the vaccines. And the vast majority of my patients got vaccinated, even though I told them not to, because they were terrified, and they would, and a lot of them, for most of them, for work, had to do it.
Well, it was also a mass media fear campaign.
Right.
It was
very effective. Mm-hmm. And so, I started testing them, and I had a 62% rate of people clotting. So I brought it to the attention of the local hospital and the authorities, and they, of course, accused me of doing something wrong. I said, hey, I send this to Quest. I'm not just making up these numbers, you know. And what that means is those clots that starts in the very small blood vessels in the capillaries, and that causes organ damage at every level. So you're seeing that in the heart. Part, you know, from the military, they vaccinated all these young guys, and they wind up with cardiomyopathies and heart problems and stuff, strokes, all different things.
Tachycardia is a thing now.
Big time. Well, POTS. You know,
POTS. I'm going to get to POTS.
So, tachycardia, heart attacks in young guys. And as you know, the military rescinded that and letting guys back in that they used to, that they threw out because it's so desperate. But, in addition, which I think 80% of the guys applying are unacceptable. So they're having huge problems with guys being obese and out of shape and on drugs or on ADD meds or everything else. But so this spike caused organ damage everywhere, and part of the organ damage was in the intestine, and that led to the autoimmune spike. And so you see a ton of new cases of Hashimoto's and arthritis problems and all kinds
the arthritis was a big one. I've seen that in a lot of this. They talked about arthritis as one of those signs. And I have, now I'm diagnosed with arthritis. What's this Hashimoto? I'm not sure what that is. Can you explain
that? Hashimoto's is autoimmune disease against your thyroid.
Okay, that's
what I was talking about earlier. That's what that is.
Yeah, okay.
It's Hashimoto's thyroiditis is the actual real name of it.
Got it, okay.
And any itis just means inflammation. So there's a huge amount of that right now, and people haven't recognized it or just, you know, ignoring it on purpose. But along with that and along with the turbo cancers, in addition to which there's a 40% spike in unexplained death in the U.S. population. They said a 10% spike would be a black swan event. Once every 200 years. They are 40%. The insurance companies are hemorrhaging money, and they they have actuaries that figure out everything to the day you die. They know, you know, and their numbers are just being destroyed right now, and they're paying out billions to people who are dying.
I got to throw something in on the insurance company because I got a friend one of his good friends is. He works for the insurance company. I can't say which one it is. The guy does not want to go on the record, but he's reporting to me that if you've had your shots, that you can no longer get the preferred rates. So if you're a healthy person, you don't smoke, you exercise, you know, you're not overweight, but you've had the shot. So they're starting to collect this data now. And I imagine they probably started collecting it to say that if you didn't have your shots, we're going to charge you more for life insurance, but it's actually gone the opposite way. Also have another friend I'm trying to get on. He's a mortician. And if I can get him to come on and talk about what he has seen, it's insanity. It is insanity. And it's not being reported. These excess deaths you're talking about and the cancers, going back to the cancers. I mean, look, OJ just died of cancer. Right. He was supposedly over it.
There is a God.
But we're seeing this everywhere. I think it's unprecedented. Remember the old saying used to be, if a celebrity died, look for two more because they always happen in threes.
Right.
Now they happen in 30s.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. And these are people, I mean, you look at old rock stars, they did drugs, they smoked, they drank, they did all kinds of stuff, and they somehow lived into their 80s.
Right.
But now they're dying in their 40s and 50s, and they must have done drugs or something. You know, well, you know, historically, that's not the case. So it makes you wonder what's changed, right?
Well, if you look at sudden death among athletes between 1969 and I think 2021, 1,100 people died worldwide playing sports, you know, unexplained death. From 21 to 22, 1,200 died in 1 year. After it's like a 50-year spike. In 23, it went up to 1,500. And I think right now it's at 1,100 or something, and we're earlier in the year. It's not that far in. And people, you see it all around the world. Guys are dropping dead. Football players, high school football players dropping dead. You know, strange things happening. College basketball players dropping. Things you never heard of before.
And that's why I wanted to get you on, because it's easy to, you know, I'm, of course, going to say, hey, look what just recently happened that would cause this. But in looking at the autoimmune deficiency, going into it a little bit on my own, and some of these other diseases, especially with obesity and diabetes and things like that, that have been on the rise. It's actually, I think it's multiple things coming together. Our diet, you talked about processed foods and the not having the nutrients to take care of your gut. I think that this latest thing is just the straw that broke the camel's back, maybe. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with it. When they announced how it was going to work, I said, you're going to put your body in a civil war. You're going to create an immune deficiency. I said that, and that's from high school biology, you know, and science, mm-hmm. you know, from a freshman, sophomore level. Of course, like I said, we had AIDS back in the day that we were educating people on, so maybe they don't teach that anymore these days. But it was just common sense to me that if you...
They don't teach much these days or anything.
Yeah.
Except the United States is a terrible place. Capitalism sucks. White people suck. It's madness. The schools become just indoctrination centers.
And the schools are the most expensive thing we have. If you look at your property tax, it's about 50% of your property tax. Right. Plus, right. It's government subsidized as well.
Right. Right.
And we produce ignorant people. I won't call them dumb. I'll call them ignorant. You know, they're indoctrinated.
Yep. Right.
But anyway, I got off track there. I forgot what we were talking about.
Autoimmune disease.
Yeah. So, the POTS thing. Let's go to the POTS thing, because okay. I've seen a couple articles, and I have all these things to share. I don't think I need to put them on screen. But
POTS is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. What that basically means is that their hearts are racing. These people from cardiac damage, once again, the lining of the heart is damaged by those little Velcro balls of spike protein in there. Eventually, that causes inflammation in the heart and the blood vessels themselves. Now, when you inflame blood vessels, several things happen. They constrict, they narrow, and what happens is that raises blood pressure itself, and then in turn puts more pressure on the heart. Now you have the perfect storm of young kids who, unlike us, who played outside till it got dark and, you know, ran all day, rode our bikes, swam during the summer. We weren't sitting in front of computers all day. So they have, the perfect storm of being obese, sedentary, and deconditioned already. So they're out of shape and they're fat already, and which puts a strain on their heart because their heart's not conditioned. And so, our hearts would... as they should be, were young and strong. Their hearts are young but not strong, are kind of flabby. And so now you add this POTS syndrome on. I have a young girl, 20 years old. If she walks up a flight of stairs, her heart rate goes up to 140. She's out of breath.
Whoa.
And panting, and, it's horrible. Fully vaccinated for no reason. And so that's
140, that's insane. Yeah. My resting heart rate went from around 70, 75 when I had to take that for an entire week before I did a class I had to go to.
Yeah.
And when I developed the hypertension, which was right around when the 5G came on and the shots was rolling out and I was exposed to people that had the shot, that's when my high blood pressure occurred, which I've beaten. Thanks to you, I've actually beaten that. But my heart rate, my resting heart rate went up to around 90 to 100 just sitting and doing nothing. And if I went up a flight of stairs, it would race up to like 120 or something, but 140 is insane. Like
she's even gone to 180 at times, but it's,
holy smokes.
Yeah. And she's out of breath and she's panting and she's sweating and she feels nauseous. I've seen a bunch of people like that, and it's mostly the young, mostly female, but, there are males that get it as well. And, once again, bad signs for everything. But
I had read was that the POTS is mostly females in their younger time. That POTS affects that the most. And this actually says here in this article, the recent studies say 2 to 14% of people infected with the coronavirus. And I wanted to talk about that. They're blaming the POTS on people who caught corona. So they're saying that the POTS is a result of kind of like a long COVID type scenario. Where that's what caused it. Now, I don't know, because most of the people that keep catching corona are actually vaccinated. So how could they rule out the vaccine?
Right.
And I've seen conflicting stories. Some people say it's because of the vaccine. Some people say it's because they caught corona. I'm looking at this more of a long-term thing, which is, again, why I had you on. I think that this is kind of our culture, our diets, the depleted soil. And then this was kind of like the additional thing. And then they locked us down for a couple of years, right? We're locked down, right, not doing much. So you're not getting the sunlight, vitamin D, you're not getting the exercise.
That's key. The vitamin D part is key.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, epidemic of vitamin D deficiency, really. And the irony is, all my patients of color have it for sure, because the melanin in their skin's blocking the sun. They would be okay if they were in Africa or in a tropical environment where they evolved. But here in a temperate environment, they're not getting the sunlight, and once again, they're inside. And the irony is, my very fair-skinned white patients have the same problem because they're wearing sunblock the few times they do go outside. And so, it's a huge deficiency of vitamin D. And vitamin D is more like a hormone than a vitamin. It protects your heart, your immune system, prevents cancer. It's fabulous for you. Every study shows more and more benefits of it. In fact, vitamin D is what I use to treat COVID. Vitamin D and vitamin C, because part of my treatment, because all respiratory viruses are susceptible to vitamin D and vitamin C. And so it's a good way, if you're a functional medicine doctor, we know this, and so we employ that first line, and then you can use other things after that.
Hey, Tony, real quick, we call him Raul, but Tony, your patient asked if you fixed your chair because it didn't squeak.
No, I have not, Tony. Okay. Even though you brought me to WD-50, 40.
Okay. Yeah, but this POTS, we're starting to see a lot of things. Now the kids that do high school sports have to get, the EKG now?
Yeah.
The military didn't require an EKG until you were 40 plus. Like, so if you went to a school where, you were going to be doing a lot of like rigorous exercise, I actually showed up to do the Master Fitness course and I went and got my EKG like you're supposed to, because I was over 40, and I showed up and handed it to them, and they looked at me like, what is this? And I was like, I'm over 40, guy. Like, oh, okay, okay. But now we're talking about, 14, 15, 16 year olds have to get an EKG before they're allowed to participate in sports.
Right.
That should be saying something to people. Oh. I didn't even know what an EKG was until I was ordered to get one.
Well, when you see little kids in little electric vehicles driving around, toy cars and stuff, are you nuts? If you're not letting a kid pedal when he's a kid, what are you giving him anything that's automatic for? I look at these parents like, oh my God. People drive kids down to the school bus stop, three houses away. They drive them down in their cars. I'm like, what are you doing?
Doc, I literally was coming home the other day, and I got a couple questions for you, by the way, I'm going to read off here. But I was coming home, and the school was, letting out, and literally the bus stopped on the little service road by the highway, and there's this big gravel kind of area. It's kind of like a driveway that they just threw a bunch of gravel, and the house was maybe 75, 80 feet away, and somebody had driven to where their mailbox is to pick their kid up to take them back to the, what is going on with that?
Right. Are you out of your mind?
Right. Anyway, let's get to the questions here. I got a couple, and that's what I really wanted. I wanted people to be able to ask you about this stuff. From Molly Brown Dog, which we know is a Syrian girl. She's got two different things at different platforms. What does the doc say about taking vitamin D out of proportion to vitamin A and other vitamins? So I guess she's saying just if you're taking that and not other stuff with it.
Well, you have to take vitamin D with magnesium, first of all.
Okay.
That activates. So it's best to take them both together. Goes back to the question of, she's right. I mean, the fat, you have to take all the fat-soluble vitamins, which are A, D, E, and K. Vitamins come in two types, fat-soluble and water-soluble. Soluble is what they melt in and dissolve in. And so all vitamins are fat-soluble except for B and C. So B and C are water-soluble. Those you could take on an empty stomach because you always have water in you. People are so afraid of fat. It's not, fat doesn't make you fat. There's no, you don't need carbohydrates at all. There's no essential carbohydrates. There's essential fatty acids and there's essential amino acids, proteins. But you need protein, you need fat, and you can make carbohydrates from that in your body. But so I always tell patients that you have to take all four. The best way is to take A, D, E, and K and take them with fat every night. And that gives your body along with fish oil, gives you all the essential fatty acids that you need. And that's essential for your health, especially for nerve health and brain health. your brain is just a vat of omega-3s, basically, with some structural proteins and stuff in there. So you can go a long way by helping brain health and people that suffer this epidemic of anxiety and depression and ADD that you see. Mm-hmm. When you know, I'm 69 years old. When I was a kid, no one, I'm sure we had ADD. I probably had it myself, but no one was treated for it at all. The irony, my cousin, she's the nurse in the school I went to grammar school in. I was talking to her and I said, man, you got it great. What an easy job that is. Because it used to be just, you know, scraped knee and a fever, you know, that's all a nurse I ever had to treat. She's a pharmacist. All day she gives out psych meds. All day. Starts in grammar school.
You know? I mentioned that in a couple of episodes that we've done. So even in the 80s and early 90s when I went to school, it was so rare. Well, the 90s, it started becoming more common. But in the 80s, it was so rare to have any kid that was on any kind of medication. And it was so rare, in fact, that they'd have to be let out of class and go to the nurse to administer it. And there was notes that had to be done. And I mean, it was crazy. Now, I mean, kids are popping pills all day long in the school.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And that can't be good for their health.
No. And there's young adults and 20 and 30 year olds, almost all the new patients that get that age are on psych meds and proud of it. You know, it's
most bizarre thing. There's something, it's like, there's something now where, the victim mentality is almost like a badge of honor. And it goes back to, you know, even we talk about like living on welfare or getting food stamps or something, there used to be something people didn't like to, you know, publish out there. They, you know, they would kind of like go shopping at the grocery store when nobody was there because they didn't want people to know that they were on any kind of assistance. They didn't want to feel like a victim.
Right.
But now victimhood it's like a badge of honor. It's like a shield, like a protection. Right.
It's terrible.
You know, even if we go to the transgender stuff in schools, I honestly think that to avoid bullying, or to be glorified in some cases, people will claim something that they, you know, maybe they don't really feel like they're transgender or whatever, but they do it as a method of protection from bullying.
3% of high school kids are getting sex changes. It's obscene.
Are you kidding me?
3% nationwide. That's the average. It's unbelievable.
Holy cow.
It's child abuse. It's the most horrible form of it, you know. And you know, I say it's not a mental illness. Well, I'm sure you know Jordan Peterson, you know, from Canada, the psychiatrist, who's great. And Jordan, he made a great point. He said, this is the only mental illness that we play into. He said, when depressed people come in, when schizophrenics come in, when paranoid people come in, we don't say, oh, yes, 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 your fears are real, the voices you hear are real. But he goes, we're forced to do this with transgender, you know, gender dysphoria nonsense, and play into it when it's a severe mental illness and we should be doing the opposite. Evidenced by the fact that within 1 year of a sex change, 42% of people attempt suicide.
Right, you know? They don't talk about that.
They don't talk about that.
Rate. Yeah. Right. And let me go back up. We had another question from Gardner Goldsmith, which you know who he is.
Yeah.
He says, are some doctors working on ways to purge the spike protein? And we talked about this on another episode, actually, so I will get back into that. Says Nako, I can't read that word, guard.
Natokinase.
That there you go. As one, yeah. I believe
quercetin.
Vitamin D. I'll just let you go on that. That was his question.
Yeah,
I know we've talked about it before. So
yeah, in my Substack page, which is medical underground at substack.com. That's how you.
Yeah,
find
let me
that.
Pull that up. I've got it linked right down there on a banner.
Yeah,
and I'll pull it up on screen. So
yeah, one of my earlier posts, I talked about it's this week's Aricos. I talked about treating natural ways to treat to do blood thinning, and so what happens is, as I alluded to earlier, that spike protein leads to clots and leads to all kinds of organ damage downstream from that. And so what you have to do is there's three different ways to naturally treat that. There's lumbrokinase, ceratopeptidase, and natokinase. Lumbrokinase, which is what I use, is the strongest one. That's made from earthworms. It's part of ancient Chinese medicine. And the ceratopeptidase is what a silkworm releases the enzyme to eat its way out of the cocoon. And the natokinase is made from a soy dish called natto, prevalent in Japan. It's a bacteria that converts that. All of them are fine. The most studied one, Gardner's right, is natokinase. That's the most popular one and the most studied one, but they all work. Lumbrokinase I use is 10 times stronger. But what these are is these natural blood thinners. So they'll get rid of the spike protein and get rid of the clots caused by that. The quercetin that he's talking about is part of my, when I wrote the book Infected, I have my gang of seven, and quercetin is one of those things we use to boost the immune system. That works just like hydroxychloroquine that he talked about earlier. Hydroxychloroquine, he said didn't work, works fine. What it is, it's almost like a cloaking device, that and quercetin. It allows ions to enter the cells, and what it does is it cloaks them and allows it to go in from there. And so it's very good at getting things inside the cell like zinc. When they first studied hydroxychloroquine, it didn't work because they weren't giving zinc with it. Zinc is what is the secret factor, because zinc is, it damages all viruses. And so it's very antiviral. So if you use quercetin and zinc, it enters the cell and it helps heal the cell. And you use natokinase and it helps clear the clots from the blood and diminish the spike protein. So that's all good stuff. You just have to take the natokinase stuff on an empty stomach, because if you take it with food, it'll digest the food as part of it.
Real quick, got a question here. AGK810 in the chat. Welcome, by the way. Welcome to Sid J and a couple other people that joined the chat. What about an unvaccinated nurse exposed to heavily vaccinated coworkers? I feel this, and we talked about this. We talked about shedding, because I was exposed, and that's actually incidentally when I started having my problems. I don't think that was solely responsible. I think it's one factor, but the same protocol to take care of, like if you've been exposed.
Yeah. Okay. What I would suggest is she gets a D-dimer test, D-dimer, D-dimer. And what that does is that measures the clotting from it. And so the normal D-dimer is less than 0.5. I've seen people as high as 35, 70 times normal walking around. A good friend of mine, his daughter was sick. He was forced to get vaccinated to see her. She was dying in the hospital. I went to see her and consequently developed that. Leg pain and clotting in his legs and different things, not to mention premature strokes and heart attacks from it. Yeah, but if I was her, I'd get a D-dimer checked. And there's no downside to going on natokinase. It actually helps you because it's a natural blood thinner. It won't make you bleed or anything like that. You can't take aspirin or things with it because it would be too strong. But as long as you don't have a bleeding problem, natokinase is safe. Lumbrokinase is safe. It's all available online. You can buy it everywhere.
Okay, so I wanted to go back a little bit, go back in our conversation. So we were talking about all the stuff we can take to fix problems, and I think it's because of the soil and like you said, the soil and stuff like that. Because we didn't have, back in the day, we didn't have all these supplements and things like that, and people lived relatively healthy lives, even though they didn't live as long, because we didn't have treatments for like other chronic things that happen later in life. But it's the young people now getting sick that shouldn't be sick.
Right.
Back to the food, growing your own food. How would a person do that? Because I know you're kind of into the prepping thing a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're into, and even in your book, you talk a little bit about that.
Oh, my first book, The Doomsday Book of Medicine, is all prepping.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. Actually, yeah. I love this. I keep referring to it. I didn't sit and read it straight through. I kind of pick.
It's a reference book, really. Yeah.
Right, it is. So when you're curious about something, you go to the table of contents and you find out whatever the subject is. Anyway, if a person were to say, and me, I'm in the country, kind of in the country, somewhat, sort of. But if a person lived in the city and you wanted to address the root problem of what's causing the POTS, what's causing the autoimmune disease, which is a lot of its diet, it could be stuff you're taking or lack of nutrients. How would a person start? If, let's say, I just lived in a suburb and I had maybe a quarter acre lot with a backyard, what can someone do to try to get some of those nutrients in them without having to go to supplements and things like that? I know that these artificially made stuff, it doesn't absorb into the body as well as like natural.
Right. Well, the body doesn't recognize a lot of the artificial stuff. It has mechanisms to absorb the natural stuff, so that's what it recognizes, and it's much more effective. What I would suggest is, what the Three Sisters is a good place to start. The okay. Three Sisters is what the Indians use, which was an ingenious method. I don't know how they ever figured it out, but they use corn, squash, and beans. So what they did was they, and in Southwest too, of all places, they would grow corn, and they had no wood, so they used that stalk to the beans would go up that and go up the corn stalk and live on that. Rather, they had no wood to put a spike for that, and they would put the squash around the base of the corn and the beans, and that would shade the roots of that and prevent water loss there. But anyway, that combination of corn, beans, and squash provides all the essential amino acids you need for health. That's proteins. And so all the proteins your body needs come from those three. So that's a good place to start. And then you can just go out as per preference of your taste from there if you want to add tomatoes to it or whatever you had. And you can make a very small garden. You can do a raised bed. You can even put it in buckets and put those buckets out in the sun if you don't have good sun exposure in your backyard. You can put them by your driveway in 5-gallon buckets with drainage holes in them and add the right nutrients to that. And I've grown great things out of buckets. So there's lots of ways you could do that. Another healthy way is to grow microgreens. You can do that indoors and stuff under lights. There's various ways to do that, and that provides a lot of amino acids and a lot of nutrients and enzymes that you need. It's all good stuff. So there's ways around it you can certainly do.
Yeah, I'm actually taking notes here. That corn, squash, beans, the Three Sisters thing, that's the first I've heard of that. And I'm going to start growing my own stuff.
They actually made a postage stamp of it.
Did they really?
Celebrating it, yes.
Wow. Well, my concern is, and the reason I brought that up about instead of looking at buying supplements and stuff that we're lacking, how do we provide it ourselves, is because our supply chain is so fragile that, I mean, look at what happened during COVID. I think that there may come a point. I mean, we're one EMP away or one major earthquake away from not having access to those things you talk about. But right. We want to stay healthy. We need to start now, start growing our own stuff so we can eat our own food. How do you prepare the soil? How do you grow good food, nutrient-dense food in order to prevent these illnesses that we're talking about? This is good. This is good stuff, Doc. Really good.
Well, what I would also suggest is that you go to Walmart or the local Costco or somewhere and buy cases of canned foods and throw them in your basement. They'll last for years and years, despite the expiration dates on them, as long as they're cool and down there. Canned beans, salmon, tuna, mackerel, cod liver, you know, great nutrient-dense stuff. And bags, big bags of rice, and just throw it in 5-gallon buckets and throw it in your basement. I put it in Mylar bags and add oxygen absorbers to it, and it's good for 25 years. But you don't have to do that. Rice will last a long time. But, you know, you can eat that bulk food. You need 6 months' worth of food. Because very likely that, I mean, think about it. If you're one of our adversaries, I would EMPS. That's the most effective thing. It's cost effective. It'll kill 90% of the U.S. population in a year. You know, it'll cripple us as a country.
Well, you don't even need to EMP at this point. I was actually going out with a buddy. He came out and, you know, we drove around the country and did a little bit of filming for documentary. We went right past a major substation in the middle of nowhere. There's no guard,
no protection
there.
Right.
It's a chain link fence with a padlock. Right. Okay. You get a pair of wire cutters and you can get in there. And the fact that we're going away from the fossil fuels and going on to stuff like the renewables, if you want to call them renewable, the solar and wind and stuff like that, they can't ramp it up really quickly. So you can do what's called a cascading effect, where you take out a couple strategic of these substations in the middle of nowhere, or it could be these massive lines that run from like the from one city to another city. Because the grid is so intertwined, if you take a chunk out of that grid and they can't ramp up production to meet the load, it will cascade down and cause failures across the grid. And we don't have these massive transformers on hand to replace.
Oh, you can't.
You know,
there's 21 substations that say you took them out. The three grids in the United States are east of the Mississippi, west of the Mississippi, and Texas. Those three grids will go down. You're screwed. Yeah. You're right. You can't make those transformers. It'll take years to get them online. That's why I was alluding to earlier. You know, I've got regular propane and gas generators, but you got to have solar generators because that way you get a couple pounds of solar generator. They're quiet. You can bring them in the house. There's no fumes with them. They have them now up to like 3,000 watts, so they're pretty good. I've got a series of those, but you have to keep those in a Faraday cage. So I put those into metal garbage cans that are lined with cardboard with a cover on it, sealed with aluminum tape, so an EMP won't affect them, and go from there.
Yeah, I've got a couple of the smaller ones that I can charge a cell phone with. One of the projects I'm doing is, because I don't know all this gardening stuff, you know, my parents did it, my grandparents did it, they did all that. Right. I would be part of it, but I didn't really learn it because, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't really need to know it. But at one point when I need to know it, the internet won't be there. The power won't be there. Right. So what I did, I took an old phone. I actually got a couple of them. I jammed them with the biggest memory card I can put in it. I download things from like theorganicprepper.com. That's a good website. There's good articles on how to grow food indoors, you know, what you're talking about with the soil, right. And put them all in a PDF format. So you turn your phone into a PDF reader. I've got a couple of these solar panel battery banks that I can actually power it up if I need to. And then my next step is to actually put them in some kind of a Faraday cage. Yeah. Because I really do
the
see.
The cheapest, easiest one is a metal garbage can, steel garbage can.
Yeah. Yep. But I really do see, especially with this massive immigration that we've had unchecked, we have people all over the country that we don't know who they are. They're from multiple countries. Some of those are adversaries. They say they're adversaries. I wouldn't put it past, even if it was an accident, you know, I wouldn't put it past our government to do it, to get an agenda across. Yeah. But they can blame it on anybody. They could do it just to send us to war. We've seen that, you know. What was the operation? I forget the name of it, but where they were talked about actually blowing up a plane to go to war with Cuba.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So we know that they've done this in the past. So I feel that something in our infrastructure. I've been harping on this for months now. The infrastructure is so crumbled, outdated. It's not maintained, and the electrical is my sneaking suspicion, but we've already seen some issues with boats and bridges. Yeah. I'm not going to say that was on purpose,
right.
But yeah, it's just, we're so vulnerable. I remember it wasn't that long ago, you know, I'm not far from St. Louis here, and Highway 44, Highway 70, all these highways converge to one place to go over the river. Now they have another couple bridges there, but you know, a couple decades ago, that was the one place to cross for 50 miles in either direction of the Mississippi.
Right.
And they found cracks and stuff, and they had to shut that bridge down for repair. So if that bridge went down, that is the corridor across the U.S. right there. That's the gateway to the West. What would happen to the prices of goods? What would happen to all this? What would happen to your access to some of these things like supplements and things like that? Right. I don't know. I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here. I just really see something with our infrastructure crashing here soon.
Well, with 40,000 military-age Chinese males let into the country, I mean, not a great idea. I don't know what they were thinking, you know, with that. But have you ever heard the saying that hard times make hard men, men make soft times make soft men make hard times? We're in soft men now, and hard times are coming.
Yeah, Harps is talking about, we've talked about this, Harps, about the Faraday cages and the, you know, stocking up on ammo and things like that over a year ago. I'm looking to see if we have any questions here. AGK810, does a good doctor answer questions outside of the show, Substack, website, et cetera?
Yeah, you can contact me through Substack. That's the easiest way.
And I've got the Substack on the screen right here at the bottom. I'm just going to leave that up the whole time. And a lot of good articles over there, Doc.
Yeah, every week I write an article on there. So there's about 60 of them on there now.
So let's go back to the AIDS, VAIDS, whatever. What got me into this, wanting to do this episode was the, like I said, the Amy Schumer claim that VAIDS, vaccine-induced autoimmune deficiency. I personally think that could do it just by how the mRNA works, but they're claiming it's not real. Everyone says, I think it's because it's not an officially coined term, but can the vaccine help, I would say help, could it actually contribute to an autoimmune condition?
Oh, no doubt. It flares up existing autoimmune conditions. We know that for sure. And there's a huge spike in them now. And so if you use, you know, the timeline, there's nothing else that happened during that period that would cause a spike. And that goes along with, once again, the pathophysiology that we know of how it works, it's of course it is doing it. You know, it's woefully ignoring it, being ignorant to it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And well, back to the thing about, I think most of the long haul COVID is probably 80% of or 90% is vaccine related injuries, not long haul. You know, that's from the vaccine itself. You know, but once, as you alluded to earlier, it's difficult to tell because everyone's been infected so many times. Even people like myself are unvaccinated. I probably had COVID half a dozen times with, you know, all the exposure to it that I've had. What can you do? You know?
Yeah, I mean, just going from a logical standpoint, when we talk about long COVID or repeated COVID, you know, I understand you're going to get exposed to it more than I am. I've only had it, I tested positive for it once. That's it. And maybe I did have it and maybe my body has a natural immunity now, but I'm not around a lot of people. You know, you're a doctor, so I can I imagine you get exposed to a lot more than me. But when we talk about people getting sick from all this stuff, you know, turbo cancers and everything else, and then you link that to, okay, so we have a rise in autoimmune deficiency. Well, what is that? Well, that you alluded to, it's the body at war with itself. And then I go back to the mRNA and how it works. You're basically creating something to make your body attack it. And I don't necessarily know that there's an off switch. So wouldn't that cause, I know that they say there is no VAIDS, no vaccine-induced autoimmune deficiency. There's no official term. But just the nature it works to me, the nature of the way it works to me says that it would cause this kind of condition, even though they don't label it. And I think that the long COVID and the multiple COVIDs, people, the more vaccinated you are, it seems like the more you catch it. Is it because that they've actually induced themselves into an AIDS type scenario where their body's at war with itself and has worn out its immune system? And now we're seeing all these other conditions come.
Exactly. Yeah. What happens is, you know, you have to look at your immune system as an army. You only have so many divisions available to defend, you know, you defend your homeland. And so what happens if several of those divisions every day are in combat fighting itself, you know, fighting against other divisions from there, basically it couldn't be a worse scenario. And so everything downstream from that are consequences of the turbo cancers, because it's all autoimmune surveillance. Your body is not able to surveil itself and pick off stragglers that cause cancer, pick off all kinds of illnesses you get. And so even by the government's own data, the people who are most vaccinated have the worst outcomes and do worse when they get COVID itself. Not to mention all the other downstream stuff, the turbo cancers that you alluded to and all the autoimmune stuff, and all just the generalized brain fog and people just feeling exhausted and not themselves. You know, just I hear it all the time. People, I haven't felt right since I got that goddamn vaccine. They'll come in the office now and tell me about it, you know, or since I had COVID. And it's true, they don't feel right. And when you test them, you find things like the D-dimer elevated. But what you can do is, it's all about boosting your immune system. You know, I'm writing an article on anti-aging. It'll probably come out next week or the week after, and I talk a lot about that. But through my
I'm going to read that one.
Yeah, but through my Substack page, I talk a lot about you know, how to boost your immune system. And in my book, Infected, I give that gang of seven, and that's what I would do. To do it provides, you know, all the minerals and vitamins that you need, and the quercetin and different things that'll boost your immune system, stuff like iodine that we're all deficient in. And all these things, the good part of all of them is they have no downside. It's not like pharmaceuticals where you take one and yeah, it fixes this, but it gives you these three side effects. There's nothing but beneficial side effects from the functional medicine point of view that I treat patients with.
Okay. Hey, I want to jump into, I don't see any more questions up here right now. Make sure if you have a question, folks, put it in the chat. I'm going to jump us to a commercial real quick for Wise Wolf Gold. He actually sponsors the show now. That's Tony Arterburn. He does America Unplugged, which will be on in an hour. So make sure you jump over to that when we're done. But let me do that. And then I want to talk about some stuff that may be coming up in the future. We're going to kind of speculate a little bit.
All right.
About some Davos stuff and World Economic Forum and all that stuff. So we'll be, where's my commercial? There we go. We'll be right back, folks.
You work hard for your money. The Federal Reserve could care less about that. It's endless printing of fiat dollars to support war, welfare, and ever-expanding government, your hard-earned money becomes worth less every day. You need a way to hedge against runaway inflation. Saving accounts pay almost no interest, and the stock market is a roller coaster ride of uncertainty. Don't let your savings or retirement be diminished by reckless speculators, bad fiscal policy, and endless printing of fiat dollars. Call Tony Arterburn at Wise Wolf or visit wisewolfgoldandsilver.com for a real wealth storage vessel. Wolfpack is a monthly savings program that ships physical gold and silver to your door. It's a buyer's club that uses the strength of numbers to get bulk pricing. Tony passes the savings on to you. Tony can roll over a IRA or a 401k into a precious metals-backed IRA. He can also help with Bitcoin, if that's what you're into. Stop being robbed by the Fed and visit wisewolfgoldandsilver.com to secure your hard work in something that truly holds value. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange.
Yeah, that was Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, which is actually in Branson, not far from me. Tony, he does America Unplugged. He does the Arterburn radio transmission. He does a Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto show. But that's part of my prepping, is having something I can physically trade with my neighbors. Because if I can't grow the food, maybe they can, and maybe they'll trade with me. So anyway, the reason I wanted to hop over is because I want to make sure we get to some of these topics. Have you been tracking what's going on with this World Health Organization pandemic treaty?
A little bit, not too much.
I'll kind of break it down real quick. So the last couple of war games, you know, they do these Johns Hopkins, like Event 201 and stuff like that. They did catastrophic.
Plandemic.
And the reason I'm getting, because we talked a little bit about vaccines and how, you know, I don't think that's solely responsible for our bad health and why, you know, our life expectancy is going down and infertility rates are skyrocketing now. And that may not be the only reason, but it is one contributing factor, in my opinion. Would you agree with that, Doc?
Yeah, definitely. Along with things like 5G, which are cooking the planet. You know, that's a whole other hour.
We've covered that in depth, and it's getting worse now they're talking about a wireless transmission of power using microwaves, and that literally will be cooking the earth. And actually, one of the frequencies, I know this is off topic, but one of the frequencies is 2.45 gigs, which is the exact frequency your microwave oven uses, and they're going to shoot it to earth. We get that one another time. But anyway, the reason I wanted to, since we talked about vaccines, I wanted to jump into the future, what's happening in the future. So they're actually, I don't think they've closed it or voted on it yet, but the World Health Organization, as a takeaway from, it was either the SPARS document or it was the, not Event 201. I forget the name of it now. But anyway, one of these last war games they did, one of the key takeaways was that in their scenario, which was identical to what actually happened in real time with COVID, one of the key takeaways was that the World Health Organization issued guidance, but there was no legal means to enforce it on sovereign nations. They just took it as advice. Right. And that was something they wanted to address. So now turn around and we have this pandemic treaty. It's not a treaty, it's an accord or an agreement or something like that. I know they want to make it a treaty, and they say that it's not going to be legally binding, that everything will be voluntary, that they want everyone to kind of like, if you imagine how our CDC is, this is like taking and making a global CDC.
Right.
That's going to all these nations that are part of the World Health Organization. They will basically do what they say, but it's not legally binding. However, they refer to other documents which will fall under that do make it legally binding.
Right.
And here in the U.S., 20 Republicans actually pushed legislation which looked like good legislation. And I don't know if that's passed yet or not. I have to check back on that. But they're pushing legislation addressing this because it looks like we're going to join this pledge, or right, it's, right. I don't want to call it a treaty because right now it's not a treaty, but it looks like we're going to join it. I think by default, you join it if you don't opt out of it. So when this thing kicks off, I think it's later this month, and we become part of it, the Republicans have gone and put forth legislation that says we are not going to be legally bound to this, but caveat, unless it's a treaty. So all they have to do is change one thing, and now they've said we're legally obligated to do what the World Health Organization says to do. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, during Davos, they were talking about this disease X, which is a placeholder for whatever. Right. So, and at the same time, I could go down the list of them, but all the different measles, the MMR vaccine, all these different vaccines that were traditional attenuated live viruses or dead viruses, they're switching it over to mRNA.
Right.
And the World Health Organization can claim, so the part of this treaty is to be able to claim what is an emergency or dictate what is an emergency. So let's just say you had one measles case. They could say, we now have a pandemic. They can define it. Right. Then they could say, you must take this vaccine, which is now an mRNA vaccine. Right. And we're legally obligated to force that on people.
Right.
That's where I see it going.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on all this global stuff?
Yeah, once again, it's a demonic type of genocide against the people of Earth. It's unbelievable. It sounds like an overstatement, but it really isn't. You know, the more I look into it, the more horrified I am. There's a guy I follow online who's fabulous. I don't know if you heard of Martin Armstrong, Armstrong Economics.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's right. He's got an AI program called Socrates, and he is always talking about Davos and Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and how Biden's incompetence and the Democrats kind of being like an invading army, destroying the country with all their nonsense. And he says May 7th and 8th, something major happens. He calls it ECM, economic confidence model, changes for the world.
I think that's about the time frame that this I'll look while you're talking. I think that's about the time that this thing it goes into effect. So I'll look it up while you're talking.
But he's also always bemoaning, and rightly so, the loss of American sovereignty. You know, we're giving up our sovereignty to these world organizations who don't have our interests in mind and had the interests of China in mind, just like the World Health Organization the first time, you know, carry China's water and, you know, hid the fact that it came out of Wuhan, even though the Wuhan, you know, Coronavirus Institute was in Wuhan. We have to believe it came from a wet market somehow. blowing up and the same as chocolate everywhere, but it didn't come from the factory. So, you know, it's an odd thing, but it's bad. You know, they're planning plandemic number two, especially with the election coming up. You know, they need something quick, whether it be avian flu or of X virus or whatever comes about. They need some way to stop us from voting or to, you know, get mail-in voting again to run the second scam on us.
I think there's going to be mail-in. I know a lot of people are talking about there will be no election. I don't think they can get away with that. But the mail-in voting is might as well not have an election.
Well, I mean, they've done everything they could to stop Trump. And Robert Kennedy, who I'm not a great fan of, but however, has the right to run. They're not giving him Secret Service protection. They're not even letting him in the primary because they know he'll kick Biden's ass in the primary. But they don't talk about that. Yeah. You know, they don't talk about the lack of democracy. It's whatever they say they're accusing us of, they're doing. So it's always projection.
You know what's really scary? Because you talk about this disease X, and that's what I guess they just want to come up with a generic disease X is so arbitrary. Anything can be disease X,
right.
The common cold, the flu.
Right.
And then you're given the World Health Organization the power. And by the way, I couldn't find out when that's supposed to go into effect, but I think it's around the same time frame and it is giving up our sovereignty.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of a scary prediction there. But yeah, they can go ahead and declare, okay, this measles outbreak, you know, two people got sick. You know, I remember you watch the Brady Bunch, you know, so-and-so's got the measles, ha, ha, ha. It's no big deal. But now all of a sudden, and then you flood our country with people from other countries that aren't vaccinated.
There's actually a big ironically, there is a big outbreak of measles right now
from
unvaccinated people. Tuberculosis also, which is really scary because it's multi-drug resistant tuberculosis that doesn't work against five different, you know, medications. So that stuff is really terrible. and they're not requiring those people ever to be vaccinated for COVID. It forced us all to do it, but they don't check right. them. They don't invite. There's no requirements for them.
Right, exactly. But you know, going back to this disease X. So let's say they claim that there's an outbreak of something, then now you must get vaccinated in order to protect. And they can do things like close our borders, restrict travel, lock you in your homes, oh, yeah. you know, yes. things like that. And it's legally binding if right. it goes the way they want it to. It's legally binding, which means you might have National Guard coming to your door and making sure you don't leave your house. Right. They can right. literally get that bad. But here's what really scares me is that since all these vaccines are going to mRNA technology, you're going to be forced, if you want to participate in society, to get this, even if you don't want it. And what's more scary than that is they're actually working on self-replicating vaccines. Have you heard about this?
The yes, yes.
I think we reported yeah. on this 6 or 8 months ago. They were talking about it. That's, and I wanted to pick your brain on that. If they do this mRNA and they push it through a false, you know, outbreak or even a real outbreak, and they force you to get it, and we already know about the shedding. If this is a self-replicating vaccine, could this be something more than just dumping some spike protein on you? Can one person that's vaccinated actually vaccinate an unvaccinated person the same as you would catch a cold from them?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that.
I don't think
anyone is right now. But you know, self-replicating vaccines. The COVID vaccine was self-replicating, and that's the problem. The spike protein keeps producing because it went and changed the DNA. What they said it wouldn't do, it would only affect the RNA, which is bullshit. It went right into the DNA.
It's revert. Well, there's two things. Did you see the Tucker interview with the Surgeon General of Florida?
No.
Where, oh my goodness, you got to see
that. But I do
that.
Love Tucker.
yeah, I'm not so much a Tucker fan anymore, right. but
why?
You know, I could watch them. I think that Tucker was introduced intentionally into the alt media to take market share from people who are doing real research. Now he does report on a lot of good things. It's just some of the ways he would, when he was mainstream, he would kind of like not let a liberal speak and kind of like bring him on just to kind of bash him. And I'm like, let a liberal speak because they'll destroy their own argument in 2 minutes.
Yeah,
if you just let him speak. So that was kind of off-putting to me, but he does cover some, and then he's also, he didn't want to cover the 9/11 stuff, and then now he does. So I'm kind of weary when someone comes into the alt media from the mainstream. Are they there to take it over?
Well, I cut him a break because of, you know, he had overseers at Fox over him that limited what he could say. He couldn't question the election much. He couldn't question the vaccine much. But I thought he did a decent job of trying to do what he could. The Putin interview was great.
Yeah, I like that one. But like going back to his interview, which is really good, I reported on it and played parts of it. But I was one of those guys initially that said, will this change my DNA? They said, no. I said, okay, let me do my research. I come up with reverse transcription, which RNA can change your DNA. Right. Absolutely. I've reported on that many times. I've got kicked off YouTube. That's one of the strikes I got, even though I showed the research paperwork from the NIH of all things. But this Surgeon General from Florida was telling Tucker that they actually found DNA in the vaccine. So it wasn't just RNA, and it could have been a manufacturing mistake. Who knows? But the DNA, which is not a big deal. If you get DNA, your body will break that down. But when it's wrapped in that polyethylene glycol, it's protected. It's in a lifeboat. Right. And then it was actually getting injected into your cells.
Right.
And so, it does. I mean, they're mass producing this stuff without testing it, or very little testing. And now going further, we talk about disease X and everything going to mRNA. By the way, I want to say hi to my mom. She's listening on Facebook. So apparently we're still on Facebook. We haven't been kicked off yet. So hi, Mom. Love
hi,
you.
Hi, Mom.
you would love to see her place. She's up in Iowa, and they do kind of a homesteading type thing and farming. Actually, they just got hit with the bird flu and had to get all their birds culled.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're starting over of sorts. So, but anyway, the real scary part is we're now finding out from this Surgeon General that there was actual DNA in the polyethylene glycol, so it actually got into the cells, and we're finding out that all of these vaccines are going to mRNA and the testing isn't really there, not there much. But now on top of that, they're going to start using AI as their test. So they're not going to do in vitro. They're not, I guess you would call it in silico, where they're, doing it. Yeah. So what do you think about that? You think that they're going to do away with actual human testing and animal testing and just go off what the computer says?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't know that much about it. But I do know that when they first tested the mRNA vaccines, the problem was it killed all the lab animals.
Right.
Every time, 100% of them died. And then they said, okay, when they brought out COVID, that was part of my argument. I said to the powers that be, well, this is crazy. It killed all the animals. Why now? They said, well, no, we need to do this. I said, what, use the humans as test animals? And that's what basically has happened. You know, so I don't know about the AI part of it, but it's probably I'd probably be more ominous if I had a guess.
Well, David Knight, so what they're doing, David Knight reported on this, what they're doing is trying to take a 10-year process and move it to a 100-day process.
Right, right.
And that is just absolutely irresponsible when you're talking about something brand new. It's a new technology that never had been proven to work. Right. Decades of testing with it. Like you said, it killed all the animals. But then we just had just the right emergency that required us.
Right.
So they say required us to just go ahead and do that moonshot, right?
Well, my argument from the very beginning was we're all offense. Why not do defense? Why not boost your immune system? For example,
and that's why I wanted to have you on, because to talk about these sicknesses and what can we do to get back to healthy, you know?
Right. So that was the Gang of Seven. That's what all that jacks up your immune system. It's a biohack, basically. And that's in my book, Infected, Secrets from the Medical Underground. But what I argued with the powers that be when this first came out was that, as I alluded to earlier, all viruses, respiratory viruses, are susceptible to vitamin D and vitamin C. So right off the bat, we should be jacking people up with high doses of that. And every study shows the same thing. The lower the vitamin D, the higher the mortality. You know, it's direct correlation between the two. And, you know, it was crickets whenever I spoke to them about that. But then I really blew their mind because I told them I was treating COVID with nebulized hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, you talked about that.
Yeah,
before.
That just wipes it right out. But, you know, if you boost your immune, I told them I didn't have a flu shot in 30 years. That made their heads melt. You know, this is your primary care. You haven't had a flu shot? I said, no.
You know
no,
what's crazy?
I haven't had flu either.
That's what I was going to say. You know, being military, I moved around all over the place and met people from all over the country and the world, in fact. And that seems to jive, you know, like the people who get the flu shot every year get really sick with the flu. And there's people who maybe they just don't have medical coverage, or for whatever reason, they just maybe they don't think about it. I wouldn't call them anti-vax people. They just don't get a flu shot. Yeah. And they're generally, if they do get sick, it's usually allergy based, which goes back to diet again. Right. But they don't really get the flu. So right. I don't know. It seems like they create their own industry.
In fact, part of my protocol, people get COVID, is most of my patients I have on vitamin D3. That's better than D2. It's more active. D3, 50,000 units once a week with fat. And so when they come down, if they come down with COVID, some of them, usually they forgot to take their vitamin D or something. But even if it overcame their immune system, they're able to do it. I give them vitamin D daily for 4 days or 5 days of 50,000. I really jack them up. And I give them vitamin C. Probably I start off at 2 grams twice a day. And as per bowel tolerance, because you get some diarrhea from it if it goes too high. But I jack that up as well, and that really shortens the immune system. But another thing you can do, whenever you get a fever and stuff, people make the horrible mistake of treating a fever. Fever, I wrote a Substack page just on that alone because it's so important. But fever is your body's defense, main body's defense against any infection. The reason being is all the microorganisms that infect us only can do so because they live at 98.6, our body temperature. So what your body does is it cooks them alive. It puts your temp up to 101 or 102, and that kills them. And that's your body's defenses. And that's what it should do. And 99% of people foolishly pop a Tylenol right away. Oh my God, my fever is 99 or it's 100. Oh my God, I got to treat this. And all they're doing is prolonging their illness. Let your fever burn. That's great for you. You know, unless it goes up to 103 and you're delirious or something, then lower it. But other than that, it's your greatest defense. And you're shooting yourself in the foot by doing that.
You know, I remember I used to get once or twice a year, what was it called? It has to do with your tonsils, tonsillitis. They wouldn't take my tonsils
strep throat?
Yeah, strep. There you go. Strep throat.
Yep.
And you're right. I actually got, and they would give me amoxicillin or something like that for it. And 1 year, and it was because I didn't have any medical coverage. I didn't have access to any kind of medicine or anything, but I was out working. I was working as a tree trimmer, and I got really sick, and my fever, I don't even know what my fever was. It was insane. And my boss is like, you need to go away. You're going to cut yourself or something, or get pulled into the brush chipper. So I went and laid in the back of the pickup with the sun shining on me. And my fever was outrageous. And I laid there I thought I was going to die, but eventually my fever just broke. Hmm. And then I felt really good after that. And I've never had it since.
Right.
Yeah.
It works great.
Yeah. I have not. And I used to be, first it was like once a year and then it was twice a year, and it was actually miserable, just absolute misery. Yeah.
That's the beauty of functional medicine. I get back to how the body functions, and you know, mainstream medicine so often ignores that. And it was always so bizarre to me in my entire career. I would look and think, why are we not doing this? We're doing more practical stuff. So you start from basics and rebuild the body, use its own defenses, you know, and you have a perfectly designed machine. All you have to do is help it, give it the right nutrients. Don't screw it up by, you know, lowering your infection, your fever rate and stuff like that. Hydrate yourself, rest.
Yeah, hydration is important. Yeah.
Sleep, hydration, rest. I've cured many of those by just going to bed early. You know, you feel like shit. You're like, oh my God, I'm coming down with something, you know. Take some extra vitamin C, some vitamin D. I'll hit the sack at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, which I never do, and sleep 10 hours and wake up and feel great. You know, you can go a long way by just doing common sense things to help yourself. And that's the beauty of functional medicine.
And hey, I got this, it's not really a question, but somebody had mentioned geoengineering. And I think this, you were talking about healthy soil and healthy gut, and stuff like that. Geoengineering is a real thing. I mean, before it was silver nitrate or something like that to help it rain, but now it's going into blocking out the sun with different metals, aluminum and stuff like that.
Right. Madness.
Absolute madness. Somebody was talking about, you know, the health effects of this stuff coming down, and we've seen it with trees in certain areas. Trees are dying and stuff, and they've tested the soil and found these metals that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So it has to be, and we know that geoengineering is real because you can buy, there's a company, Matt Landman, he did Frankenskies. We interviewed him, and he actually showed us a website where you can pay somebody for your carbon offsets to go spray to block out the sun.
Yeah,
so
it's crazy.
You know, people are selling it. Tennessee has actually got legislation now acknowledging that it's going on, which is great. That's a great step. Right. So they want to ban it, which I don't know how you ban something if they spray it over Indiana.
Yeah.
It's going to drift over into Tennessee. But anyway, so back to my point, they were talking about geoengineering. Now, this stuff has obviously got what goes up must come down. It's getting in the soil, and we're ingesting aluminum, I think barium is one of them. There's a lot of these different,
there's tons of heavy metals and toxic in that are coming down. But one, I have a Substack article on it, on activated charcoal. One of the things you got to buy if you're a prepper. First of all, you can filter water with it. That you need it for all filtering. We use that to this day. But it also lowers radiation by about 80% in your body if you're exposed to radiation. It'll bind it up. Activated charcoal does a thing called adsorption, AD, not AB as an absorption. So it has the surface area of several football fields, just a little capsule of it. And so what it does is it chemically binds stuff on the surface. It doesn't soak into it and absorb it like a sponge, because then it would expand and explode inside of you. But it chemically binds it on the surface and inactivates it. One of the things it binds is radiation to the surface of it. But it also binds all toxins to the surface of it. So activated charcoal, you want to stockpile. Now, I alluded to it earlier with biochar, that add that to the soil. But you can half burn or incompletely burn wood and stuff and add that to the soil.
So real quick on that, I'm into forging.
Yep. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Yul Gibbons would be very proud of you. Do you know who Yul Gibbons is?
No, I don't.
Oh, he was the king of foraging from the 60s. He wrote books on it all about.
Forging, like metalwork.
Oh, forging.
Yeah, forging.
It's a foraging. Okay.
No, that's our friend Angry Tiger. Frank. Yeah, I don't. Have you been on with Franco before?
No.
Angry Tiger? Oh, you need to go on with him. He's pretty good. Yeah. He does the mushroom hunting and the wilderness stuff. Pretty cool. But if you go watch people who forge blades and stuff like that, they have methods of creating their own charcoal. And that's what you're talking about. It's real simple. You just get some kind of container, like a metal drum or something. Yep. You put your wood in there. Then you put that in another container or a fire of some sort. And what happens is the fire wants to burn, but it can't burn because there's no oxygen. It will turn to charcoal. And then you can crunch that up and make what you're talking about, the charcoal. Right.
That's great stuff for the soil. Yeah, but you can buy it. Activated charcoal is relatively inexpensive. I would buy a vat of it and just keep it at home. I've got tons of it, you know, because you'll need it to filter any water and you can add to the soils. And like I said, in the horrible case of a nuclear explosion, you can absorb 80% of the radiation in your body by just ingesting that. Now, you have to be careful with it because it'll soak up any medication or any vitamins or anything else you take. So you have to take it 3 hours before any or after you use any medicine or anything like that by itself. So I would get up in the middle of the night and take it. You know, it also is great for your bowels if you're having probably people come in nausea and vomiting. I give them two activated charcoals, lay them down for 15 minutes, and they walk out skipping and feel great because it soaked up everything in their stomach.
Nice. Let's do go back to foraging, though. I got people talking about it in the chat, in one of the chats here. If a person doesn't know, like, what's safe to eat, because I think it may come down to it. If you're not gardening, you're not feeding yourself, and we lose our supply chain or lose power, the ability to keep food, people may have to go out in their yard and look for something to eat grass or whatever. Is there any books or any place that we can send people to go get educated on if that ever does happen? You know,
yeah, I mean, the one I mentioned earlier, Yul Gibbons, he's got a bunch of books. Little mass-produced paperbacks from the 60s. Actually great. They have them on there and stuff. There's other books on foraging. I can't remember the name of the authors that are online now that you can get. But, you know, I'm doing it today.
Oh, here we go.
I plant stuff that people won't recognize either. You ever hear of Jerusalem artichokes?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's a perennial sunflower. It's native to the United States. They also call them fartichokes because they give you a lot of gas. It's not an artichoke at all. It's a like I said, a sunflower, but it's a tuber. It's like a potato, and it spreads great. It's very it's beautiful flower. It's a nice plant, and no one would recognize it, so it's a good food source. But it's native to the United States, east of the Mississippi, and so you can find it in forests and stuff, and along roadways even. But if you want to have a secure food source, plant things like that in your yard. I plant all kind. Every berry is good for you. I've got a farm. I've got every kind of berry and nut and every kind of fruit tree that could possibly grow here. But there are great things you can grow, like sea buckthorn and gumi berry and things like that that are nitrogen fixers as well. So you can put them among your fruit trees and they'll bear berries on them that are just loaded with phytonutrients, good plant-based nutrients and stuff that's good for you, loaded with vitamin C and different nutrients. And those are really easy to grow. So you can look in my books, I always talk about that stuff. I always mention how to garden and different things in it. But every once in a while in the Substack, I'll add a page about something like that. And that kind of stuff is key. It's very cheap. It's very cost-effective to do now. And especially if you have a little land, you can stick it in a little corner here and there and just plant things like that and let them flourish by themselves and have a secure food source. You don't have to pick them in the spring. They're perennials. You leave them in the ground, and you just multiply.
Yeah, I think the key to that is getting educated on what grows well together, like as a symbiotic thing. You talk about fixing the nitrogen in the soil and stuff.
Right.
But my mom, she says Mr. Gibbons would eat acorns. I know you can eat acorns. A lot of people boil them to get the, was it
tannins.
Tannerite.
You got to soak them for a long time, yeah.
Yeah. She said he did the commercials for grape nut cereal.
She's absolutely right. From the 60s.
This is the guy, right?
Right, that's him. Yeah.
There you go. So I'm going to have to get something as well. We got a lot of stuff that grows wild out here.
Yeah.
But, in a pinch. I know right now in my yard, it was here before I got here, but we got mint and then something nettle. I forget, something nettle, which is another.
Oh, nettle's great for you. That's great.
It's all over. And it grows like a weed. Like you can't even kill the stuff.
Right.
It's great.
Hurts like hell when you touch your hand. You got to be careful with it. You got to wear gloves. Nettle is like fine needles on it.
Yeah. But, anyway, I think we pretty much covered everything. Let me see if there's any other questions. Anybody in the chat got any questions for Doc here? I'll let that roll for a minute, and we're going to talk about your books a little bit, Doc. Let me pull them up. I did add you, of course, to our website. So if you go to the Knights of the Storm website, theknightsofthestorm.com. I've got your Infected book, which you talked about, the Doomsday Book of Medicine, which I have. This is great. It's like a, it's like an encyclopedia almost. You don't have to sit and read it. It's not a story.
It's the best. It's the best. Not, I'm not saying this, but it's been reviewed as the best book for medical prepping out there. A lot of the books for medical prepping are just impractical. They say things like cold poison control. I mean, what are you, nuts?
This, yeah, there's not going to be
a grid poison down situation. You know, and they used to have impractical stuff. Oh, get this medication from your pharmacy. You know, in all my books, I give 15 or 20 ways to treat every problem. This way, if you don't have access to one, you can find another in a grid down situation.
Yeah, for me, my high blood pressure, there was tons of things I could do. You know, for, I think for the most part, being a little more active and the diet was the big thing for me.
Magnesium is key with that.
Yeah. And, oh, and I started taking the multivitamins as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking the fish oil. I'm taking the ginkgo, and I'm taking the Centrum.
Take some extra magnesium as well. It'll lower it.
Yeah. There's a lot of magnesium in the particular supplement I'm taking. And then you got the alternative, the Bible of alternative medicine. What's the difference? I think you said these two are kind of the same.
They're very similar. Don't buy both of them. They're very similar. Okay. I kid around and call that my lesbian friendly version of the Doomsday Book. <That's> you know, it has less prepping stuff in it, and they're 90% identical.
Okay.
Infected is totally different, though. Infected teaches you how to treat every medical problem from any infection from head to toe without pharmaceuticals.
Nice. So yeah, I'm not making any money in this, folks. This is just I support Dr. LaGuardia. It goes to Amazon. Would you prefer people buy this somewhere else?
No, Amazon's fine.
Amazon's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I do have another question. Somebody's asking about Trump. Ask that if you do still support Trump after he supports the vaccine. I know I don't anymore. I'm not going to vote for Trump. But that's probably
you're going to vote for Biden.
No, I'm going to write in somebody. Oh. I mean, if I had to like really hold my nose, I would pick Kennedy, but I don't think he's going to make it on the ticket.
Plus, you got Parkinson's. And Parkinson's develop a lot of mental problems. You know,
does it really?
Oh yeah, Parkinson's get a lot
of. I didn't
know that. Yeah, they a lot of them develop problems with that. No, I'm definitely voting Trump. Trump's our only hope. This is it. We lose this one. It's over. You know, the country will be gone. The economy will collapse. The borders can't be open any longer. You know, no one's perfect. You know, like Ronald Reagan said. You know, other Republicans have said, I agree with 80% of what they do. I'm voting for them. It's not, you know, no one's going to have everything you want to it. But, I mean, just does brilliant stuff. I mean, the economy was good. The foreign policy was good. There's no wars. You know, he's our only hope. You know, he's not a politician. These other guys, I just don't trust them.
What I'm concerned with is this. I'm seeing a lack of actual spending from either or any kind of real campaigning. I think Trump's gone out and done a few rallies and stuff, but Biden hasn't done nothing. My biggest fear right now is that neither one of them will make the ballot and will be forced with a choice between two people that we know nothing about.
It could very well happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, Trump's practical. He gets stuff done. You know, the economy was good. He'll get back to drilling. We were energy independent. You know, we had no American troops were being killed as a soldier. You must appreciate that. In Afghanistan, we lost no one under Trump. One guy, I think a handful of guys compared to what we were losing. And then he had a great way. He was going to keep Bagram, he gave up Bagram, which was madness. The best air base in the world, probably strategically located. And, you know, left all that equipment behind, just incompetence. And just the fact that he'll do everything based on merit, not based on ideology, is a winner for me.
Yeah. Hey, I want to say hi to Geesebusters. He supports the program as well. So I didn't see you popped in there earlier, but he's actually been on the show before. But anyway, yeah, we got a lot of folks that are not Trump supporters anymore. I think we all were. But
the problem is if you don't support, I mean, they to vote something else and then he could lose and then we're screwed.
Conundrum. That's the conundrum. What do you do? You know, if I had to choose between, it would definitely not Biden. I would argue that Trump's economy was not as good as he boasted, but it was better. Way better than Biden's.
It was doing great until COVID.
But anyway, I don't want to keep you. I know normally this is an hour long show, but we have up to 2 hours now, so I just kind of kept you a little long.
But that's no problem.
But yeah, I really appreciate you coming out. I don't see any other questions here for you. I guess if you had one thing in recap to say to people as far as staying healthy, avoid getting the autoimmune disease in the pots and all that stuff, what's the number one thing they can start with?
I would start with my Gang of Seven. Those seven. Yeah, very, very easy to take. You take them, you know, one take them all together in the morning. And that will boost your immune system. It's a biohack that works great for you. And that will prevent most COVID related problems, and it'll prevent most illnesses. And you can just adjust it if you do get sick, and it would be a lot less, you know, virulent.
All right. Well, let me get us out of here. I thank you so much, everybody, for joining us in the chat. A lot of good questions and a lot of good comments as well. Doctor, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Make sure you go check out his books. You can go to our website. We have links. Just go to theknightsofthestorm.com, hit the little read tab. You can see his books, three of his books there listed. And then also there's a link to his Substack down at the bottom. Make sure you follow the Substack and read the weekly articles, valuable information. And I would even save them, do like I'm doing, save them on a PDF and put them on a portable device and put it in a Faraday cage.
Right? I would definitely print out the one on radiation. Print it out to get a hard copy of it.
All right. Well, I guess that does it for today, folks. Make sure to take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Keep your armor tight and your sword sharp. Okay. Until next time. Take care.